From theunce.com, this is the Unce Podcast. Featuring artist interviews, unreleased tracks, and previews of the biggest events in electronic music. Available every week at theunce.com.
Hello and welcome to the Unce Podcast. I'm your host, Anand Harsh. This week, my guests are David Satori and Zoe Jakes of the exotic electroacoustic trio Beats Antique. Satori and Jakes, along with sidecar Tommy Cappell, have been fusing old-world sounds, instruments, and dance with the newest electronic movements to create some of the most interesting and inventive music in recent memory. The Beats Antique live show is a completely unique experience that's part bulk and rave, part psychedelic Cirque du Soleil, and mostly out of control. Their new album, Blind Threshold, is out now. Let's get to the interview.
Let's talk about your musical background, because while Beats Antique is all about the beats, it's also about acoustic instruments.
Yeah, definitely. Beats Antique was founded sort of on the idea of combining all the electronic music influences that we have as a trio, and then also really bringing in all of our acoustic background. As far as I studied guitar for a long time and banjo, and I actually studied world music at a place called CalArt in LA, and was fortunate enough to study a lot of different cultures' music, as far as West African to Balinese to Middle Eastern music and Indian. So that's like, that's the biggest influence as far as acoustic music has been all these different cultures' music that I was able to study.
We spoke a little bit about David's musical background. Can you tell me a bit about your own musical background?
Sure. Basically, I really started, it's actually funny, when I was in like grade 7, grade 8, all through middle school, I was in band. So I played baritone, which is kind of funny. But as for my current musical background, like what I'm based off of, when I first started dancing about 11 years ago, when I first started doing belly dance, I actually was in a world music dance company that did a lot of world dance, and I learned a lot of Balkan music and a lot of singing, and we all learned the words and the proper pronunciation and like North African music. And so I learned a lot of that stuff pretty early on.
How did you meet up with both David Satori and Tommy Cappell? Were you running in the same circles, or had you played in groups before?
Me and Tommy met each other a really long time ago, about 10 years ago, and we both are in a band called, we're in a band called the Extra Extra Marching Band, which is a marching band, but kind of a weird, crazy party marching band.
Right.
That also did a lot of, was influenced by Balkan music, and had, later on in its musical career, went to Serbia. I didn't go there with them, but Tommy did. Went to Serbia and played in the biggest brass festival in the world. And we met in that band. I was on the flag team, actually, and he was the lead snare. And then we also worked with each other again. This is our third band together. Our second one was the Yard Dogs Roadshow, which is a vaudeville Americana circus show.
Mm-hmm.
And that was great. Really awesome group that's still touring and performing and traveling, does great stuff. And then me and David met years ago. We've been dating for about almost 6 years now, and we met a long time ago. And this is our first musical group together.
So when you were conceiving of Beats Antique, you knew you wanted to bring together your varied backgrounds in both electronic music and acoustic instrument, but you knew you also wanted a live dance element?
Well, the funny thing is, when we started it, we didn't really know any of this. That's what's so great about it, is there was never any deciding factor about kind of what we wanted. It was like a project that we came together for that just was really amazing and successful and grew from there. And it was about Miles Copeland, who used to manage the Police, who's Stuart Copeland's brother, the drummer for the Police.
Mm-hmm.
He basically asked me, because I was in a company, a dance company that he was producing, and he asked me about what was going on with music. He had a new record label called CIA Records that he wanted to get some more kind of world music that was influenced by electronica. He asked me about that, and I was like, currently, you know, me and Tommy and David were, I was working with David and working with Tommy, and they both had these incredible influences, and we just came together for that project, and it was purely just for an album. And the album was so successful, we made a second one, and then people started asking us about playing. live doing shows, and that's when we had to kind of figure out what that meant.
Yeah.
And how to create a big sound with three people, and of course I brought my dance element in. But there was really no intention behind it until it happened.
Spider Bite, followed by Rising Tide, featuring Lynx from Beats Antique's new album, Blind Threshold.
So tell me about that creative process among the three of you. With those varied backgrounds, do you each bring something to the table and say, you know, I've got this idea, I've got this melody, I've got this beat, and then the other two work on it? Or is there some sort of formula that the three of you have been able to execute successfully?
Gone a couple of different ways. The first album we made, we sort of just split down the middle, and Tom, you worked on a lot of it, and then I worked on a lot of it, and then Zoe sort of overlooked both all of the tracks and influenced a lot of the tracks and produced a lot of the different tracks in different ways. But it was more like I was working on these tracks and he was working on these tracks and she was coming in and interjecting on certain tracks. But now we work in a way that Tommy might bring a bass line or a beat, and Tommy does in general do more of the bass line and beats, and I do more of the melodic structures and melodies and instrumentation, and Zoe does a lot of the arrangement and editing, and of course, and we all do arrangement and editing together, and Zoe's actually started to produce her own tracks. Like, she has about two tracks that she's taken on full force as far as like the bass lines and getting more on the melodic work and breaking that down. So we've got a couple different ways right now. At this point, we're really collaborating on a level where it's really easy for us to go back and forth. But, you know, we still come in with ideas that are fully fleshed out, and then we influence. So, but it's become real natural, definitely, over the past time. And I feel like this Contraption, our last album last year, really was the culmination of this new sound that we came up with on Off Collide. But Contraption was really just sort of, it was moving smoothly, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense. You've been together such a short time, yet you've been prolific. You've put out Collide and then Contraption and now Blind Threshold. Has the music evolved or changed during this span? I know the process behind it maybe has shifted, but also maybe the music itself, how that has been pushed and pulled and massaged into maybe a new shape or form.
I feel like the music is, our electronic influences have definitely become stronger and stronger. I think the first album, Tribal Derivations, was definitely just heavily based in more the acoustic world, and we were using a lot more natural sounds that we recorded and working with more organic sounds. And now, I mean, we're still using that. We're definitely getting influenced by the heavy bass scene that we're in the Bay Area. We're surrounded by a lot of friends who are amazing producers and have been at a lot of festivals with them over the years, and their heavy electronic bass sounds and dubstep sounds are definitely influencing us in a positive way.
Sure.
I feel like a positive way. But I like to still hold on to that fully acoustic sound. We have tracks that are still very acoustic and orchestral that don't even touch on the electronic stuff on the album, you know?
That's funny. I've been wondering, is there a piece of gear out there that is absolutely essential for artists who are trying to mimic acoustic sounds without it coming out all synthetic or robotic or even cheesy sounding?
I really feel like all the cheesy sounds are based on the way it's sampled. You can really get good sounds. Tommy has definitely, the drummer in the group, has used tabla samples with the Handsonic, which is a piece of gear from Roland that Roland makes, and that has some cool stuff. But really, lately, he's been just using full-on drum set. He's just been playing drum set to the track, and I've been launching different clips of the tracks, and we've been doing different arrangements. And now we're actually getting into live looping and really doing more live improvisation.
Okay.
So that's what we're getting into next tour, so that's something exciting that we're experimenting with now.
There you go with John Popper and Egyptic from Beats Antique.
Can you even count how many instruments you're bringing with you on stage? It seems like you're both picking up and putting down violas and hand percussion and this and that?
I just tried to count. I think it's about 5 instruments, maybe 6, including percussion, like drums, percussion, synthesizers, as far as like the bass sounds is what we're using, keyboards and stuff. And then I play guitar, saws, and viola.
And we've actually been working like crazy in the studio to beef up our tour and like bring more elements. And so Tommy and David both have been working on using keyboard to do some live bass sounds. And I've been playing drums and bringing in a few percussive elements, like these things called tarkabas that are from Morocco. These big, huge, crazy metal hand clappers. So we're definitely growing with the amount of live instrumentation that we're bringing.
And I wonder, and as Tommy and David continue to bring new elements in and then maybe add improvisation into the sets, how does that affect what you're doing? What you are doing generally for songs, I imagine, is very choreographed, but as there's more improvisation added into there, has it been that you've just been out on the road so long that you can read each other so well that it doesn't even matter that, you know, whatever they're doing that's new or out of the ordinary or following down a new path, you can also use your body as an improvisational instrument?
Yeah, in ways. It's interesting because the way that I perform the songs, I know them so well, being there when they're being made and having a hand in them being made, I feel like I know the songs on an organic level that I'm not even conscious about, really. I think it's just as it goes as improvisation. It's like just so in your body, and really knowing David and Tommy's musical style, it feels like I connect on a level with them musically that it's like I kind of know, even though I don't consciously know, my body is very aware. And I think that, honestly, the only stuff I choreograph is group stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Solo, I just know the pieces so well that, and David just made a point that on the stuff that we are starting to open up the tracks and improvise on them, the goal is I'm going to be playing music as well. I'm really excited about playing more music with the group, and we worked really hard to bring me in more musically, so I'm going to be helping trigger tracks and playing drums and that kind of stuff. So some of the improvisations, I'll be dancing, and yes, I'll be improvising with the group, and some I'll be playing music with the group.
That's fantastic. So Blind Threshold is out now. So you've embarked on a huge fall tour. When that wraps up, what's next for Beats Antique? Is it back into the studio? Is it, you know, more dates? What do you have planned?
We're doing a couple shows on the East Coast with Bass Nectar, supporting him on some big East Coast shows right after we get off the road on our full bus tour. We're doing our big Halloween Saturday night show in Los Angeles with the Doolab, so that's a big show down in LA that we're excited about.
Yeah.
That's how we're ending the tour. But yeah, we're taking some time off, and we're working on a new EP. We're working on some new music to come out in the spring, and trying to get videos. We're really trying to dial in some cinematic film work and try to get our videos up to snuff and like get some new work in that world as far as you know, some visual representation of our music.
That's fantastic. Thank you so much for being on the UNS podcast.
You're so welcome.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for getting in touch with us.
Well, that's going to do it for this week's UNS podcast. Thanks goes to Matt Whittington of C3 Management, Kush Arora, and of course my guests, David Satori and Zoe Jakes of Beats Antique. Their album Blind Threshold is out now, and they've just added a Halloween date with the Glitch Mob at the Fillmore in Denver. Check theUNS.com to see when they're coming to your town. Next week on the program, my guest is the downtempo and breaks DJ Kilowatts. His new EP, The Right Words, comes out on Tuesday. Amateur DJs, artists, and producers, you still have time to enter the UNS Challenge. All you have to do is drag your original track into the UNS SoundCloud Dropbox, and you could win Ableton Live 8, a Novation Launchpad, and a one-on-one session with one of 8 production masterminds. Go to theUNS.com/theUNS Challenge for details. Remember to visit theUNS.com for news, artist profiles, and tour dates from across the electronic music spectrum. And go ahead and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Write us a review. Tell us what you think of the show. If you have any questions, comments, or complaints about the program, or you'd like to be a guest on the UNS podcast, contact me at anand@theUNS.com. That's ANAND @theUNS.com. Catch you next week.